Blog Talk Radio. that the dead Christ will rise first, our lives, things called us towards dear God, we have peace and joy. Now, Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:1-3 there, when he said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, what? We will be changed. And this corruption, or this corruptible mortal body, will put on incorruption. All right? Meaning that the moment Jesus comes, whether we're dead in Christ or whether we're still alive, there's going to be a transformation of the body from a mortal body to an immortal body. It'll still be a physical body. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead, he told them, he said, a spirit does not have flesh and bones like me. He physically, bodily rose from the dead. The Bible is very clear in 1 John that when we see him, we shall be like him. Meaning the moment that he appears, the moment he descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, the moment the resurrection takes place or the rapture, whatever you want to call it, but the moment that happens, there's going to be a transformation of this body. The flesh will no longer be like it is now. It will be transformed into a supernatural resurrected body. But that's at the end. That's at the resurrection. That's at the second coming of Jesus. Now, right now, the Bible says we're born again Christians. And we'll look at this in Titus in a minute. That if you've been born again through believing that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he rose from the dead the third day, and you believe the word of God, and you've confessed you're a sinner, and you've repented and doing your best to turn from sin and walk with him, the Bible says you will have a supernatural experience where your spirit is regenerated. That's a New Testament word. That means made new. And that's where we get the 2 Corinthians 5:17 verse. That if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, let me tell you, the becoming new is a process. And what starts when you are saved, when you're born again truly with true faith and true repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ, washed in his blood and walking with him, when you're truly born again, the process of all things becoming new happens. The first thing that happens is your spirit man is completely regenerated, made alive by the life of God. There is a resurrection that happens in your spirit man that's been alienated and separated from the Greek word, the Zoe, life of God. Okay? Now, I just told you that the body's not going to be made new until Jesus returns. But when is the soul made new? The soul, the mind, your will, ability to make decisions, your emotions, your consciousness, your personality is in the process of being renewed by the Word of God. And it is in this process where you will either, through walking this out correctly, your soul will be saved, or it is through this process that your soul will be lost. First, all right, let's look at it. Soul. I'm going to keep establishing. Everybody go to Romans chapter 12 first. Romans 12. Verse 1. You know, and as I said throughout this series, at different points, one of the first things we learn as Christians, once we are saved and in the process of hearing the gospel and understanding the gospel, the first process that we understand is that we've got to bring the flesh into control, keep the flesh unwild. That's what the Bible calls crucifying the flesh, mortifying the deeds of the body. As Paul put it, that I bring my body under subjection. I make it obey me. I don't let it do whatever it wants. So we, you know, as Christians, a lot of Christians here, folks, a lot of Christians haven't even learned that lesson. That's really the first lesson. That is the lesson. That is what repentance means, is that you choose to turn from sin and put to death through your faith in Jesus and through the Word of God. You choose to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and put to death the deeds of the body, like fornication, premarital sex, lust for the eyes, adultery, drunkenness, drug abuse. The body wants to do those things, right? You put to death those things by saying, Lord, forgive me. I repent. I don't want those things anymore. Give me grace. Give me power to walk it out. And you believe in the cross, what Jesus did, and you say, and literally you come to the point where you really believe that I am crucified with Christ, the old man, the old flesh nature. You have to reckon yourself dead to sin. What does reckon mean? You account it as done, then you can, to the point that you believe it, you can say, I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live, I'm still alive, but the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm not living anymore through my faith in myself. I'm not living anymore in my own strength or my own desire. I'm living because now I believe that Jesus, when he died on the cross, that not only did he die there, he died there to crucify my old man. The old me was with Jesus on the cross. He was paying for my sins. My flesh was crucified there with him. When I believe that and I reckon myself dead to that, that's when I choose I'm not going to live as a dead man walks. I'm not going to live according to my old man. And until Christians and anybody that wants to be saved and go to heaven, until you understand that you've got to identify yourself with the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus to the point that you hate that old man and that you're going to walk a new life, you're not saved. You never can be saved. I know people that say they want the presence of God and they want to feel God's glory and presence in their life, but they don't want to crucify the flesh and the old man. They don't want to identify with Jesus Christ. They want to talk to Buddha or meditate or chant or whatever else they want to do. They want to try to be spiritual, but they don't want to go through the cross of Jesus Christ. They don't want to go through the crucifixion of the flesh. They want to have spirituality without crucifixion. It doesn't exist. Okay? And a Christianity that tells you you're forgiven no matter what you do or how you live, that tells you that you don't have to do anything, is a lie. And it's always been a lie. Right? So I told you to turn that now. So we understand that the old man crucified with Jesus, and that Jesus wants us to let that man stay dead. How many of you know that baptism is supposed to be a sign that the old man is buried? That's the water. Up. It's old things are passed away. But now here's the thing. We have to put the body over the soul. The soul, this other part of us, has to play. And we have to resist. Alright? And remember, we got into it a little bit, we're going to get into it a little bit more today. But Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul, the joint and the marrow, and the discerner thoughts and intents of the heart. What we're doing in this study, dividing soul, spirit, what is soul? Spirit. Very important to the music of Christian. Right? Define it again for you. First. Remember, the soul, your conscience, this, your mind, will, your emotions. The spirit of man is different from the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. The spirit of man has a conscious ability to discern, like Paul, supernatural. Intuition, ability to sense, experience, spirit. An area of worship, that they worship God's spirit, all in. Right? So spirit, where you're going, boy, where we learn what some old spirit was, spirit, it will vision, or some when gifts of the Holy Spirit moves, God gives knowledge, or prophecy, or tongue, or interpretation, gifts. This is where God is working that in the spirit of a man or woman. He's working that in our spirit, and then our spirit then communicates that to our soul. And that's the way it's supposed to work. Okay? But most Christians suppress, ignore spirit and the Holy Spirit, and basically try to live the Christian life out of their own intellect, the knowledge they have of predicting things in the Bible. They live the life out of just simple head knowledge, intellect, emotion, and they make all the choices about what they do instead of hearing and surrendering the will of God. Because you will either do your own will or you will do God's will. Right? So now, having said all that, let's see Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and maybe it makes some more sense. Look where it says. Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See? What are we talking about? What's the body? What's the sacrifice? It died. Right? It's given up. It's sacrificed. And live this life. We don't live the Christian life indulged in the flesh. It's not the way to be. Right? So he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So God is saying very clearly, to get your flesh under control, to not live according to the dictates of your flesh, is reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It's not legalistic. It's not law. It's not, you know, undermining grace. God says here, present your body living sacrifice. Guess what? If you want to live in adultery, if you want to live in fornication, premarital sex, if you want to live in drunkenness, drug use, if you want to indulge the flesh and live lifestyles of a homosexual or whatever, a witch, a sorcerer, if you want to live and indulge that life, you're not presenting your body to God. Not. And if you think more, see thy own my devil and my doctor. And to those who really don't know book. Then he says in verse 2, be not conformed to this world. What's that? Not allow this world system, the way they think, what they believe is right and wrong, what they think is acceptable, what they think you should be and what you should say and what you should be. Don't let yourself be pressed and conformed to this world system of sin and compromise and ideas of morality that are against God's word. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. He says it again. Don't be like the unsaved, the world. Don't have their same ideas. That's why it's such an amazing thing when we're starting to see Christians, and I'll show you this point. We're starting to see Christian pastors and Christian bands who've been Christian in the Christian ministry for years and years and years are changing their views on homosexuality, accepting it. All right? And saying it's okay to be gay. It's okay for gay marriage. It's okay for things like Jars of Clay's lead singer just came out. We remember not too long ago another Christian singer, Jennifer Knapp. A Vineyard pastor just came out. World Vision just came out. And, of course, they caught so much flack, they retracted it. But the problem is, if you're going to say that, you're already, your heart, mind gets screwed up. But don't be conformed to this world. I don't care that if the whole world wants to say that it's okay for men to have sex with men and women to have sex with women. If they want to say it's okay, that's the world system. God never said it's okay. It's an abomination. It's God even calls it this vile affection. Okay? He said it's even against nature. Right? So I don't care how many people want to be born, how many Christians want to be born first. God said, you will be born world. Born different. That's the sentence. Let's keep reading. But he says how to do it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Uh-oh. Gotta stop right there. Transformed. The Greek word, metamorphuo. You know what this word is a picture of? It is a picture of the caterpillar going into its cocoon and coming out a little while later completely transformed into this beautiful butterfly. Before, it had to inch along and crawl along the ground and was always in danger of being pursued. But all of a sudden, it comes out, this beautiful creature with wings that can fly on the currents of the air. It's completely transformed. It doesn't even, any part of it even look like it. And he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be metamorphosized. Right? Completely transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind or your soul. And the word renewing there is an interesting word. Kevin and Patrick and I can appreciate it. It's the word renovate. And it literally means something that's old, messed up, torn up, trash, ruined. It means, you know, if this house needed to be renovated, it was messed up, we would have to come in here and rip everything out, rip out all the old, and how many times have we done this in a house? Rip out everything, except the frame almost, and put back all the, that renovation. Rip out all your old ideas, all your old beliefs, all of your emotionally led part of you that's always been ruled by how you feel emotionally. Rip all that out. Here's why. Here's why it's such, these Christians are so bobbing when they don't spend time with the Word of God. But those do it only. It's the only way you figure out what is old and false and what to do with that. See, remember he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, your soul, why? That you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh. All right? So how do we just, how do we put back new things, new stuff? How do we let our soul, our mind be renewed? Let's look at, let's go to James, let's go look at Ephesians. I almost want to dance with this. But there's both this practical living out Christianity. Right? Everybody in Ephesians 4? Now listen to this. Now that you understand what the soul and the spirit is, the difference between the two, when you read the scriptures, when you really get this down in you, you read the scriptures, you'll see, okay, he's talking about the soul, he's talking about the spirit here. He's talking about the flesh, the body here. But look at this. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Now he's speaking to Christians. And he says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth, from now on, what? He said, you walk not as other Gentiles walk. Uh-oh, hold on a second. I'm going to walk. You don't walk as other Gentiles walk. You're not conformed to the world. You're not like the world. He says you don't walk as other Gentiles walk in what? The vanity of their mind. Do you know what the word vanity means there? It means in the useless nonsense that's in their brain. You don't walk like that anymore. They say homosexuality is okay. You don't walk that way anymore. They say, oh, it's okay for boyfriends and girlfriends and engaged couples to shack up and have sex before they get married. No, we don't live that way. We don't live like the Gentiles, the unsaved is what this is referring to. We don't live by those who are outside of relationship with God. We don't walk like they walk. We don't think like they think. We don't act like they act. We're supposed to be transformed. Let's talk in the vanity of their minds, or we could say in their soul, in their mind, will, and emotion. Their ideas. This is what God's saying, the vanity of their mind. He's saying their ideas, their beliefs that are against God, that are immoral, that are lustful, that are evil. He's saying all of that. Come on now. That's what he gets us going. Therefore, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. I know what that is. It doesn't just mean their sense, but it means their spirit darkened. It says, being alienated from the life of God, the very power and intimacy of God, through the ignorance that is in them. And this ignorance doesn't mean they just don't know. This ignorance is deeper, that they have not encountered or perceived the presence and truth of God. Because, and the reason they haven't perceived, fully perceived and encountered and felt the life of God, because of the blindness of their heart. Oh boy, it goes. Or he said, who being past feeling, what's he talking about there? Their conscience, their spirit is past feeling, meaning that their conscience no longer really alerts them to right and wrong because they've gone against it so much that their conscience has become hardened and seared. That's their spirit. See, here's the danger. If you sin and keep on sinning, If you keep indulging the lust of the flesh and the desires of the wicked mind, the wicked soul part of you, if you keep indulging and practicing unrighteousness, practicing wickedness, your spirit, all that is left in you, will become hard, callous, and unfeeling. And we say, why do people get to the point that they can take a knife out and kill their whole family, lose their children? How could someone be so void of love and affection? How could they be so void of any morality? It's because if you keep going against your conscience, it will finally be past feeling, and you will be given over to people. And we're all men without people. And he says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, which is just a complete license, indulging lifestyle, do whatever I want whenever I want. Sound like the world? Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness, with greedy. You know, they can't do this. But you know what? The golden stone is right. Keep going down that road. All you're going to do is that. Yeah. But never again. That's why they got to have that. That's why. A little bit of drugs to the alcohol, more. That's why a little bit of sex. It's always just more, but because it satisfies the soul, killing the soul, then it's destined spirit, cutting you off from the life of God. And so what you're experiencing is cut yourself off from the life of God, and you're killing the soul, and you're killing your spirit. You're beginning to experience death. You're dying. And that's why so many people are in depression and despair, because they're walking in spiritual death, and spiritual death is misery. And here's something that's even more scary. Jude, the apostle Jude, the half-brother, said this in his book. He said, these people, there are people who are frightened. What's up? Got news for you. There's only one way to be quite dead, just to walk the plane. Hold up. These false teachers, false prophets. And this is what he said, quite dead. Well, the Bible says this, before we are saved, born again in Jesus, that we are dead in trespass and sin. That's what it means. We are dead, spiritually dead, in trespass and sin. But then the Bible says, when you have faith in Jesus, when you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, God Almighty, died on the cross for your sins, and you realize I'm a sinner and I'm headed to hell and I need a Savior, I need my sins washed away, I need to get right with God, and the Bible says you come and you have faith and you pray that prayer and you're baptized and you're washed and your sins away and you're born again, your dead spirit comes alive again. Well, what most people don't believe, because of false teachers that teach once you're saved, you're always saved no matter how you live. What they don't understand is that the only way to be twice dead, plucked up by the root, is that you had to be dead in trespasses and sins, born again, made alive by God, and then you go back to living in trespasses and sins until you die again spiritually. And then at the judgment or when you die, you're plucked up by the root. What root you had in the ground of the kingdom of God is ripped up because you chose to go back practicing iniquity and sin and lust. And you die, you begin to die, and the spirit begins to wither and die, and the soul begins to wither and die. The wages of sin is death. Starts out, remember when God said to Adam and Eve, if you eat of this tree, you will die. Well, the first aspect of that death was not physical. They didn't die physically. Their spirit man was cut off from the life of God, so they begin to die spiritually. And then their soul began to be affected. being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greed. Now look what he says in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Here we go. Look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, literally what this means, you be renewed through, I love this, through your spirit to your soul, your mind. I look these words up. Be renewed through your spirit in your mind. Oh, boy. Let's read a little bit of this further. Be renewed, you got to start renewing your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And a lot of people think, well, if Paul by as he goes on to say, you put on the new man. And he says, he gets real practical about repentance. He says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak to every man the truth, his neighbor. Oh, far less. You're a liar? Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. That's not a sin to get angry. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Oh, here's a hard one to figure out. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, get a job, and work with his hands. Thank you. Good. That means he may have to give to him that speaks. Okay. Oh, here's another one. Here's one. They don't like it. Oh, listen. Do jealous of friends and some false teachers out here, what I'm reading straight from the Bible, excuse me, they say is different. The devil. Devil. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication speak out of your mouth. If you're a foul mouth, curse. Four-letter word. Sexual lust, immoral talk, food. That's effort. It's not all. Serious? You're a liar? Foul. That what's the best? All right, let's keep going. Let no corrupt communication speed out of your mouth, but that which is good to edifying, that it may minister grace in your ears. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and full speech be put away from with all malice and be kind in their heart, forgiving one another, even if God forgives. And I, you know what? I just got a great goes in five, chapter five. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself an offering to sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And he says this, but fornication, that's premarital sex and all sexual immorality outside of marriage between a man and a woman. All uncleanness, immorality, filth, or covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Not once. Am I reading the Bible? Neither filthiness foolish talking, nor jesting or foul mouthed, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, what's a whoremonger? Somebody chases them. It's constantly after them. Done with a whore. All right? And this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. None. Meaning, if you live this way, if you indulge these things, if you're still living according to the world, ways, and systems, don't let any man deceive you and come along and tell you you're okay, because you have zero, not any, nothing, nada, fifth inheritance in the kingdom of God. You will not do it. Somebody say it's free. Bible right here, right? Now, let's get back to our study. Where it says we've renewed, right? For the sun. Let's go to the book of James. By James chapter 1 yet? Any of the same, we've got to study the Bible. What's that mean? But it's okay to study the Bible. Alright? Here we go. James chapter 1, everybody there. Alright? Oh, this is so much of this is so good, but we're going to start there and read the whole chapter later. Well, let's start reading at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, I'd say a lot of there, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart or lay away from you all filthiness and superfluity, and that this is a fancy word for being superabundant, naughtiness. Look at this. And receive with meekness or humility the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So here's where we start to see, how do you renew your mind? It says, receive with humility the engrafted, or in the Greek, the implanted word of God. Hear what I'm about to tell you. The word of God to be saved. And notice he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Meaning, let the word of God be implanted so that it will save your soul. You cannot be saved. You cannot have a renewed soul unless you receive the word of God, and I'm talking about the written word of God and the prophetic word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is a sharp two-edged sword. There is the word of God that is written in the Bible, and then there's the other edge, the word that God speaks to you and speaks to you, whether it be directly to you or through you, by his Holy Spirit. You hear what I'm saying? So many people, what the word of God says about something, or they choose not to obey what the word of God says about something, and immediately they move into deception. Everybody say this with my soul. Not yet saved. I must renew it. 5. Notice it says, let's read this. Wherefore, live apart. Turn away from all filth and superabundance of thought. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save. On the subject of perspective, God works never. I love how there's a vineyard pastor up in Michigan just said that Jesus does on perspective after, counseling and hearing stories of people from Esther. I turn to Romans chapter 1. Remember, the Bible's clear. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But here's what's amazing about the writing of the Apostle Paul. Even the Apostle Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, that's writing Paul's scripture, being Peter acknowledged that Paul's writing were by God. Now, we have people out here in the world system and even Christians now are saying, God didn't say anything about homosexuality. I'm saying, what in the frack are they supposed to? Have they not read Romans chapter 1? I mean, it doesn't even use the term homosexual. It just describes the act. So you don't miss it. So in case they change words and phrases, we still understand what it is. Look what he said. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to start reading verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. Now, what God's talking about here is that God said he says it in Romans 2, that God's written his law in the heart of every man, and Romans 3 says that at the judgment seat, man will be silent. He will not be able to speak because he will be without excuse. Because God has made what is right and wrong, put it in our hearts. All, everyone, saved and unsaved, the law of God is written in your heart. You know what is right and wrong. And then he says, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, okay, now, hold on a second. Who are the folks who know? Only way to know God might know about him. How many of you know knowing about George Washington is different than knowing George Washington? First, right? Right? He says, because that when they knew God, at some point they glorified him not as God. A lot of Christians, not like God. It's because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Here we go. Where it began. Falling away from God here. But became vain in their imagination. That's in their mind, their soul. They became empty, vain, worthless. Their mind, their thoughts, their will, their emotions began to take over. The soul began to dominate. Listen, this homosexual issue and the universalism issue that why would God damn someone to hell, never heard the gospel and all this other stuff that you come up with, all of this is emotionally based and intellectually based. It is not based on the Word of God. And the moment any Christian begins to think that God is somehow human or in his emotions, he's like us, and governed by his emotions, and that God's not going to let anybody go to hell, he's okay with homosexuality. What they've done is they've reduced, they're not glorifying God as God. And what they're doing is in their mind, they're becoming vain, their imagination, their thoughts, their ideas, their emotions are beginning to take over. And you know when someone's emotion, soul is beginning to take over because the Word of God is thrown out. Jar of clay, dude. And can't have soul. That's God's word. Right? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, they were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. And what happens, once your imagination, your soul begins to accept the ideas and be governed by the emotions, and your intellect starts to put your intellect in the place of God, that your foolish heart is spirit. When that happens, here's what it says. I love the next verse. Professing himself wise and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image that's like a corrupt man, the birds, the fourth of the beast. Hey. That's happening behind you. Bottom line. God. Just make your own. Make your own song. Just make your own song. Look at verse 1-4. Once you go down this road, here's what happens. Wherefore, God also gave them up. It is because they chose to walk flesh. Just read this. Yeah. Have fun. Yeah, what's up? God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own body, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error that was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled, not filled with the Holy Ghost, but filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. We went from him discussing these people knew God to now they're haters of God. And he says, let's keep reading, haters of God, there in verse 30, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without even natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, now look at this, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only that do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And this right here, this last verse says, those who do these things are worthy of death, and that means the second death of the soul in the lake of fire, which suffer in torment forever. He says, not only will those who do these things suffer in eternal torment forever, but those who approve of it, who have pleasure of it, who say it's okay, meaning if you put your lot in and say homosexuality's okay, you're damned. You burn to hell. And if you were a Christian, ask Father. Here's the danger. Don't get so by the Word of God. Don't let the Word of God come in by the Holy Spirit. And you don't choose the Word of God above the own, your own ideas above the world. A soulless Christian will fall. A soulless Christian will be deceived by false doctrines, men and doctrines. Will not make heaven. So this fall. And be a preacher, a true preacher, but not so. Now Romans 8. Lord is speaking. Lord is speaking. Let's read. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, if your Bible doesn't say that, you've got to read the Bible. Some Bibles leave out that last phrase, Romans 8, 1. Let's read it again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, I love that phrase there. Hear that, doesn't print? There's the law of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's conditional, folks. Are you walking after the Holy Spirit and the things of the Holy Spirit and the things of God? Are you walking after the world and the things of the world? It's real simple. And then he says this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, attend to, meditate on, focus on, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, what is he talking about? To be carnally minded. Oh, wait a minute now. How can the mind or the soul be carnal? Because it's my flesh. My flesh has been that. No, think about it. There are many sins that are of the flesh nature that you don't fit up. In take unfit by. You may find. Death, anger, and God, offense, God, and us. See, let's remember something. Everybody remember something. How many of you know the shortest verse of the Bible? Who knows? That's it. It's 15. December, Lot, Lot. Let's think about it. God told him down at the bottom. And he told him, I'm taking you out of here. Then angels, he even had to grab them. The angels had to grab Lot and his wife and his family and his daughters and literally pull them out of Sodom and Gomorrah before he rained down fire on those homosexual sodomites. And God was trying to pull that righteous man out, even though he really wasn't fully righteous, but God was having mercy and was pulling him out. But he told them specifically, don't even look back. That was the word of God. Don't. Did she actually go back to God? Did she even take a step back? No. That's why the dead, the man, puts back, not enough is then act, but you got to get carnal both minds. There are so many people who are Christians. They just say, but through difficult persecution, through offense, through all kinds of problems, they are really wrong. Watch you all the time. Five, press, pardon. Your tongue, touch the eye, pardon. Sold, down. Friends, more important. God, pardon. Most people think more important is than obey. You're worried about persecution or rejection, you're smart. You're after the things that's going. Listen, take one of the things about the soulish mission, whether they ever say it, everything about it, even doing something first with them, or to make this stuff. So much of what they've done in church so this again. I didn't say so. If you're walking with God, or you're doing that. You hear what I'm saying? Only way your flesh and your carnal mind, boy, when you come, pass the word of God and pass the God, God's word. Oh God, I said, by the faith, by the Spirit, by him, and what he says by his Holy Spirit, whatever contradicts mine. This vineyard pastor up in Michigan says that Jesus nudged him to change his view on homosexuality. Let me just tell you, that is not Jesus nudging him. That is not the Holy Spirit speaking to him. That is not God saying, ignore what the Bible says, the written word of God, and God's judgment that has been revealed against Sodom and Gomorrah, that's been revealed against sodomy and perversion, even in Pompeii, in earlier years, I mean in more recent years in the first century. And yet mankind doesn't burn. And now everybody's, oh, God. What does it possible? what could it possibly change the whole world? James 5:19-20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Revelation 20 makes it very clear that if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you overcame the flesh and you overcame the devil and you overcame the carnal mind and you overcame through faith and walking with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit helps you and you overcome, if you don't let that happen, the Bible says very clearly, and your name is not found in the Book of Life, he says, you will have your part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And the second death never ends. It's not an end. It's an eternal state of damnation, punishment, torment, suffering. You will be fully conscious of every chance you had to accept Jesus and follow him. You'll have every remembrance. You'll have sexual desires in hell that'll never get fulfilled. You'll have hunger and thirst that'll never be satisfied. You will have hopelessness. You think you've experienced despair and hopelessness? How about 10,000 years, and you're not even ever going to get out of that place of torment and darkness? All because you decided to fulfill all the lusts and desires of the flesh, to have a carnal mind, to be wicked, and to be the enemy of God. Not worth it. There is nothing worth selling the soul. How many of us tried it all? Before we became a Christian, we were sexually immoral. We were on drugs and alcohol. And it didn't help. It didn't take away the pain. It didn't take away the depression. It didn't take away the despair. It didn't make us happy. You feel good for a little while. You wake up and things are worse. That's one of the amazing things about marriage. Blew my mind. Sex is no different. Sex, no empty, feeling like you're separated from God. God just has no idea. Who's heard your friends talk about sex and things? Yeah? I know it. He's doing that great hands. I know he's hurt. I remember when I was in third grade, kids talking about sex. Fourth grade, at Martin Elementary, which is now Northside in Opelika, we used to sit around a little group. And the whole time, more students start to all be talking. If our brothers would have stood like behind a tree to turn that, and that would be the today. And it's regular spot going on. We can have that back. Right. Our, not now, it's not even the American culture. That's okay. I'm up to possible lies, doctrine, it's all dumb. They use the word brain. The term, the grace of God, was my. Oh, they could say, what they always say, preachers can say, oh, that, we don't mean that. But when you tell a person they're saved, no matter how they live, that's exactly what you're telling. That's why preachers say, now you go different things on. On international fashion. Take a month. Just a down. Think about it. Revelation 13, 14. Just take a month. Just a month. See the difference? One, out of their own intellect, out of their own emotion. Because they despise self, they got theology, just they fought off. Years, guess what? I always knew this. This is over 20 years ago. I said the once saved, always saved doctrine will eventually be used to justify taking the mark of the beast. I said that 25 years ago. And here we have nationally, internationally known ministries like John MacArthur and Jimmy DeYoung, who are known all over the world, who have television and radio shows that go to millions upon millions of people saying, you can take the mark of the beast if you're a Christian, you can take the mark of the beast if you're eternally secure, you will go to heaven. See the difference? What happened? You've got a theology, a doctrine of sin, you've got emotionally charged, oh no, a Christian can't go to hell. So you've got this emotionally, demonically inspired, soulless Christianity. But the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Revelation 13 and 14, comes in and divides between what is soul and spirit, jars and gates. So, there's that. There's change. Demonic. Blood, all, good faith, Oh, I'm a Christian singer, Lord. I love the homosexuals. I told them they were good. They were good to God. They were okay. I told them it's strange, man. Not love. Jesus made it very clear that if you are ashamed of me, my work, they have been. You cannot separate Christianity from the moment you do. All this Bible says to play dumb. You're so led by your own intellect, your own imagination, your own emotion, and you're headed to hell. You always think, take this to heaven. Take Father in heaven, I ask the Lord to let this word plant everybody's heart. Let it be engrafted, let it be implanted, and I pray that it is received with humility and meekness so that it is able to save souls. Well, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, Holy Spirit, breathe life, breathe conviction. Let's go forth and draw people to the truth of the word. Father, I pray today that people will receive the engrafted word of the gospel and the written scriptures, that they'll receive the engrafted word which is able to save their souls from the lies and the doctrines of men and the doctrines of demons. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that many homosexuals will come to know Jesus, will come out of that lie and that deception and out of all the justifications and all the stupid theological arguments, soulish men and women. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that people will come out of sexual immorality and drunkenness, drug use, and they'll come to the cross of Jesus and let their sins be washed away, and that they will turn and repent and crucify the deeds of the body and begin to walk anew in newness of life. Father, I pray for true salvation to come in the lives of people who are listening to this today here and on the radio, and people who will listen to the recorded messages. Father, touch lives. God, all the way to Africa and Australia and Europe and Lord, all over the place. The truth of the Word of God. The final touch. Pray in the soul. And the fruitful. God, I think this is the first of all, Mom. I'm not even thinking about it. Don't know what spirit is buffing. You don't know whether or not you're a flesh dominant, flesh control person. Buffing. Or it's just, I can do it for you. A lot of people think they're passionate. Don't get me. I'm going to stand there by myself, by God, and like, don't say it's the fourth quarter. I'm ready for the quarter. I'm watching water burst down. What happens now? Stop the water. The dust. I take the bomb. But that. That makes me. That. I'm not going to say hug the next morning, but I'm not going to say hug the next. I'm going to say build the body. Lord spoke to me something this morning. I'll tell you real briefly while we were in worship. He told me he's going to build the church. Frankly, I don't care. But I'm not a... But it'll be, it won't be. No. Thank God. The self thing. They're going to know. They need to be turned. Pass. Let's take us off on. Download Facebook, and grab your list.